Hey, welcome to the show. Welcome to Mentally Chill. I'm Kristen Carney, and I am so sorry I wasn't here last week. That was very unexpected. And of course, it happens after I say on the show before that, wow, I have a much better work ethic than I thought. And then all of a sudden, I'm gone. But what happened was I went away for my birthday for last week. And I'm not saying that to get more birthday wishes, by the way. That's just, I could just say I went out of town. I'll just leave it at that. I went out of town. And I actually was in Canada for part of the week. And that's where I booked my guest. And I don't know many other Canadians, so my guest canceled and kind of threw away the idea. I didn't want to do a birthday show alone. It just felt like kind of sad. But anyway, I'm here now. And I made it out of Canada alive, which is not something that happens often. It's a very dangerous country. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you for listening. And thank you specifically to new Patreon children that have joined the community. It kind of sounds culty having children. It's kind of creepy. But you guys are the children. Thank you to Jessica D and Sarah P. Thanks for hanging out and becoming part of that. Someone on Instagram told me that I should tell a little bit more about like the donation levels on the podcast. And I usually don't do that because I don't want to bore you guys. But since it was suggested, I'll bore you guys. So you guys can donate $2 a month and become part of the like website thing where you can get the posts that I'm posting and chime in and be part of the community. Also, I give you a shout on the show and you get access to my mini pods and anything that I'm posting on Patreon, I basically keep it open to all levels, even though most people don't do that. So if you donate $2 a month, sometimes on other Patreon accounts, they will like shut the post off to anyone like $6 and below or something like that. And I'm not really doing that because I feel bad. It's like if you put the effort in to come onto Patreon, I feel like you deserve it. You know, you deserve the love. So for as little as $2 a month, you can feed a 35-year-old woman. And then there's the $5, which is you get like a Twitter and Instagram follow, access to all the stuff, the mini pods, etc. And then you work your way up, $8 and $10, you can get a signed photo, like $8 and $10 and up, you get a signed photo, which I still feel so uncomfortable doing. It's just because I don't know what else to offer. But I mail you a picture of Stevie and I with a little note on it. And then $20 or more a month, we do a phone chat. So a 20-minute phone call, you and me, we talk about whatever it is you want. And I've found so far that most people like to just talk, like just kind of go on about their day. So if you want to vent, I'm here for that. If you want to ask me questions, I'm also here for that. And then $50 or more a month, then we Skype or FaceTime. So it's awkward for me and you. So you can pay money to be awkward with me. And then if you're a crazy town person and you want to donate $100 or more a month, then we Skype for a really, really, really long time. Also, anyone $20 and up gets a free t-shirt. I just ordered the second batch of t-shirts. So if you're waiting on a t-shirt, that is on its way. So stay patient and stay sad, because if you get happy and then you're wearing that shirt, it won't make much sense. Anyway, about today's show, it's untraditional. It's not an episode that would be your typical episode. I have a psychic medium on. His name is Chris Medina, and he reads my energy in terms of my mental health. And it's interesting the differentiations he's making between myself and Stevie. And we go on and on about all that spiritual kind of stuff. So stay tuned for that. And again, thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to give the show a review on iTunes, please do. Make sure it's only if you like the show, though. If you don't like the show, keep it moving, folks. Keep it moving. So thanks again and enjoy the show.
So would you say that people who are more sensitive are have higher levels of depression? Would you say that that's a thing?
Yeah, because we feel too much.
Yeah.
Can you imagine, like, we were talking just a second ago, like being psychic and having to warm up to people. Like whenever I go to events, I was just at one yesterday with a good friend of mine. She's an attorney. She took me to a function at her work, and I'm like, just give me at least like 5 to 10 minutes to kind of ease into this here. Mm-hmm. It's not that I'm being bitchy or that I want to go home, but you can't just throw me in there. I need to feel, I can hear everything. So let me just walk in and kind of do my thing here.
Yeah.
He knows not to talk to me when I go into places like that. Just let me go in there, get comfortable here. But can you imagine being psychic and hearing everything and looking at somebody like in not wanting to make eye contact because you're reading them.
Right. And yeah. I could tell that the minute I opened the door, you're reading me. I could feel that. Uh-huh. And so I can't imagine everywhere you go that that's happening.
Yeah.
So you mentioned really quickly voices. And I was trying to read a little bit on this, but it was too complex. So I just kind of scrapped it. But the difference between, and I'm not being an asshole here, but what's the difference between like schizophrenic versus someone who's hearing voices who are voices from guides? You know what I mean? How do you differentiate? Like, I don't have a mental illness. I'm actually hearing people.
That's a tough one for me. I again, because I've been doing this for so long here, 2 points here. I've actually worked with schizophrenic people in mental illness. I guess it would be, you got to use your better judgment. You got to use your own intuition when it comes to looking at somebody and deciding whether or not they actually have that ability or they're meant to.
Right, but as a person, say I was hearing voices, as a person, would I not like you assessing me? Would I say, are these like, is this something that is like clairvoyance, or am I experiencing a mental condition where I need to seek medication? You know what I mean? Like, what's the difference? What's someone hearing when they're schizophrenic versus when they're clairvoyant or a medium?
I think with the medium and the psychic part for me, and there's always that kind of disconnect with people that suffer from a mental illness. Does that make sense? Like you can just tell that they're
I know what you mean. It's they kind of go to this different space,
and their energy, like that's such a tough question to answer. I'm not trying to evade it or trying to.
Yeah, no, but that's, I just said I was trying to read it, and I just shut the computer because I was like, this is too complex. Mm-hmm. So I quit.
I'm
a quitter.
Yeah, with the psychic stuff. It to me, because I've been doing this for so long, and again, people probably think that I'm delusional or that I'm crazy.
Well,
here.
That's the thing. You're going to have so many people that are going to think that.
And somebody actually questioned me about that one time too.
Oh,
like, how do you know whether or not? And it's like, I don't know how to answer it other than I've been playing with this for so long, and it never has me harm myself, harm other people, or put me in a position where.
It's not an irrational feeling.
Yeah.
Somehow there's something, and I'm just guessing.
And it's a protective thing too, like reading people, I'm not having images or the voices coming and telling me, oh, you should be afraid of her, or like, what do you, you know, nothing. It's more informational for me.
Right. Okay.
It's such a tough thing to answer.
I would guess that if you're hearing voices in the sense that you should seek medication, they would be louder, they'd be more aggressive, they would be maybe scarier.
And it always affects that person's self-worth too. They always end up withdrawing, or they end up, there's just a disconnect from this is my woo-woo words here, but from the material world versus spirituality.
Yeah.
I used to mentor a kid not too long ago, that was a tough one. I met him working at Comic-Con. I was doing an event there.
Oh my God, we need so many mentors down there for people. Right. Just give up the comics. Mm-hmm. Get a job.
Let's get it back into reality. He had a book, came across my booth, and he was like 5 minutes before we were getting ready to close. And he had said, what are you doing here? Like, you're a psychic. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, at a Comic-Con? I'm like, well, what do you think all these comic books are about? Psychics and mental shit. And I said, give me 5 minutes. $5 for 5 minutes. You don't like it? No harm, no foul. Immediately started getting past life stuff off of him. Like what he came here to do or whatever. And I started seeing him a little bit more. He had the same, almost kind of the same similar background as I did growing up here. So I kind of, I knew there was something off that needed to be healed here, because when I look and the way that I get people that suffer from mental illness, there's usually a cracked lens there that's trying to mend, or they're not able to it's a cracked view for some reason. And with him, that's what I was picking up.
Is it harder to read someone who would be depressed or have a mental illness?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
There's two parts. I would think it would be harder, but then part of me would think it would be maybe easier, because it's like a bleeding heart. Like someone who's depressed, it's like there's so much maybe going on.
But that's a lot of responsibility to that's read true. Somebody yeah. that has that suffers from a mental illness, because one slip of the tongue or so can kind of gear them in a different direction here. So you have to be really, really careful when you deal with people that suffer from mental illness. He was extremely artistic, intuitive here, but I can also see there was something that wasn't quite right, and his energy would shift. It wasn't like a mood type of thing. Like I can tell if you're depressed or you're kind of needing space. This was more of like a disconnect. My hackles, like a cat or a dog, mm-hmm. would kind of go up, and I was like, the energy's different here.
I almost would see that like in a movie, if all of a sudden that happened to him, his energy changed, like his eyes would turn black or something. It's like, yeah, really?
That's exactly what I would tell him. I was like, eyes are too dark now. Yeah. He has green eyes, but they're the pupil part, it took over. Something you can just tell there's a disconnect there.
Right, right.
So I helped him as much as I could psychically and kind of helped him with his confidence, work-wise, and kind of got in his head with people. I was like, you're overanalyzing people in the process here. Take a step back.
He is?
Don't,
he
yeah,
was?
Yeah. Don't. He thought people were out to get him all the time.
Oh, that's me. That's really me. I've done a lot better, but that's been a lot of my problem too.
But he had probably the same background as we both did. He was bullied in school. I was bullied in school. You were. So automatically for us, it's a defense mechanism. But again, I don't pick up anything with you other than I feel too much, or it's a lot more mental, not in a mental illness, but more of like, it's a high level of intuition. I don't know how else to put that with you.
I've always said that. My mom has always said that. We definitely are intuitive. I've had experiences. I mentioned the plane thing, but I've had other ones mm-hmm. that they always come to me in dreams. It's never, I feel intuitive in real life, but I don't feel intuitive in terms of what's going to happen.
So when
in dreams,
you,
I do.
When you get them in dreams, because your material mind, I know this sounds so woo-woo here, but your material mind tends to overanalyze and wants to process it. You need to figure things out fast. That's your mentality. It's kind of shaking the Polaroid. Let's get it developed here. Dreams is when you're asleep and your subconscious takes over here. So then it's easier to get a hold of you there. Start journaling. Yeah. I know that sounds so woo-woo.
No, it's a great idea. And I think I steer away from it because when I do have the intuition dreams, they're all very, they're not happy feeling dreams. They're mm-hmm. very scary dreams. And then I wake up feeling very weighed down. And I had a dream that I'll mention. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because I was just in Utah visiting my grandmother for her birthday, and all my aunts were out there and uncles and stuff. And I was in the room that my grandfather died in. And I've received things from him. I know I have, for sure. And I would say to Stevie, he would leave me pennies. But beyond that, he's done many things. One was I had a dream where he told me that there was something after this life, but he wouldn't tell me what it was. And he wouldn't tell me how to get there. He said, there are things you have to do, but they're not what you thought they were. And it's not what you thought it was going to be, but there's mm-hmm. something, and I'm not going to tell you. And my grandfather was someone who was like polar opposite of me, just like hard worker, very much like you wake up at 4 a.m. and you start working from that point until you go to bed at 9 p.m. And so that was very much him to not give me the answers. But the reason I say this is because it's so insane. My Aunt Judy, who was just there this past week in Utah as well. So we were having this conversation in the room that my grandfather died in. Nothing happened in that moment, but I had that, and my Aunt Judy, without communicating to each other, had the exact same dream where he said, it's not what you thought it was, but there is something and I'm not telling you. It was the exact same dream. And so when I have things like that, it feels scary to me, even though maybe it's a wonderful gesture. The way my brain interprets it is very like, wow, this is very, not ghostly, but it's just there's something very ominous mm-hmm. about it. And so that's why I don't really go further, because it's scary. It's like when we were having that conversation in the room that he died in, I was like bracing because it would be so scary to me if something happened in that moment. Like if we felt like something or
the bed moved or like there was a crack in the wall. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause it's just beyond what my brain can really soak in.
That's where you need to go. That's where you need to take it. And again, growing up, I can't remember a time where I didn't go through that. Yeah. Or that didn't happen there. Again, growing up, being psychic, being a medium, having those feelings, I would feel the energy come in, like ghosts walk in the house. I knew that things were going to happen here, and processing it in my own mind. I just had, for being so young, I had to this day amazing self-control mentally.
Yeah.
For some reason.
So what was your mental state like when that kind of stuff was happening? Did you get depressed or did you get scared? And how did you communicate it to people that this was happening?
I didn't communicate it to anybody. I lived in the Valley. I grew up in the Valley.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was born and raised in North Hollywood.
Oh my God, I can't believe there must be so many ghosts in the Valley. I mean, I feel like anyone alive is still a ghost in the Valley.
Right,
I
exactly. Hate it there. The energy's horrible.
Yeah.
And then moved to Simi Valley, which is in Ventura County. Do you know where Simi's at?
Yeah.
That back then, I'm old. So back then, growing up there wasn't a lot of ethnicity out there. It was just mostly white. I went from a private school going to a public school, got called everything in the book.
Oh my God, I can imagine.
Yeah, and it took a toll on me mentally. I had visions of suicide like at the age of like 7-8 years old.
Yeah.
I'm just done here. Like I was so scared to go to school, hiding behind buildings. And then my guides, again, coming in, I was asking, you know, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, like why is this happening to me? I don't understand it. And my guides would tell me, literally, they had said this. Where do you think they learned this from? Their parents. Their parents are to blame here. They're mimicking what their parents are saying.
Oh, the people. Okay. I thought you were saying the guides were learning from their parents. Okay.
The guides were telling me about the kids. I was like, right. How does this happen? What is a beaner? What's like a wetback? I had no idea what this was.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared for it. Getting, you know, going into that type of mentality, withdrawing, going home, not wanting to. And then my home life was kind of shitty too. My mom was married to a guy that was extremely jealous of my father and my relationship with my mom. It didn't want to spend time with me. He would come home from work and put me in my room and say, you need to sit in here. And he would take my sister and they would play games in the room, like board games. And I would fall asleep. My guides would come in. Don't go out there anyways. He's doing this because every time he looks at your face, he thinks of your father. Mm. Yep. I'm like, so.
And you were how old when this was?
7-8 years old.
Yeah. And that's too much insight for a 7 or 8 year old to have.
And then I'd go to school and then I'd sit there and I would read the kids. And then I would read the teachers.
Would you read your books, though? That's the question.
No,
of course not.
Horrible at school.
Same.
But yeah. So it led to kind of like again, withdrawing and not wanting to come out here and not wanting to. It was just difficult. And then I was gay.
Right. I mean, you just got freaking hit by the bus, man. Mm-hmm. Mexican, gay, uh-huh. Psychic, mm-hmm. Sensitive soul.
Yeah.
That's it. You're done. So I have so much respect for you for turning out the way that you did not because you're Mexican, I'm expecting you to turn out another way. I'm saying because of the combination of everything stacking up against you socially wise mm-hmm. and for you to choose the right path, which is to continue to follow your heart and do what you know is inside of you and not to just shut it off and go do drugs or something because it's mm-hmm. just too much to handle.
Yeah. I ended up because I knew what I was doing and I was like, okay, I'm playing with this and I am picking up stuff from this person. I am getting hits. I turned it into manipulation.
Oh, good.
So that was my go-to. That was my defense mechanism. So yeah. I would manipulate other people knowing what they wanted to hear. Teachers too. I would get inside their heads and kind of.
So did that give you a sense of confidence? And so you could kind of break out of whatever sadness it would bring you into?
It gave me the sense of like, I can actually talk myself out of getting my ass kicked here.
Yeah.
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 That's what I used it for.
And you need it. It's a survival thing.
Yeah.
At what point did you just start? I mean, you seem like you've always accepted yourself, but at what point were you like, fuck it, this is who I am. And I don't care if someone wants to try to beat me up. I'm not that you want to get beat up, but like, I'm okay with if they're mean to me.
I dropped out of high school in 10th grade.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I started. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I moved out of my mom's house, kind of went in. It was just,
That's
it
young. Was time. And so ever since then, you've pursued you.
I pursued me. I was more outgoing. I was more vocal, more direct. I was like, I don't have to go to school anymore. I don't have to worry about getting my ass kicked now.
Well, school it all changes. Is like, I have a cousin. So like I just mentioned, I was in Utah and I have a cousin who he's 17. He's going to graduate this year and he's struggled so badly with school because he's not meant for school. He is not, that's not his brain. That's not where he's supposed to be. And it's so hard for kids when like, you just have to go through this funnel until you can come out the other side. But you have to go through that shit. But so many souls aren't meant for that. And he's struggled with depression. He's had a suicide attempt. And I don't know him that well, so I can't really open this vat with him. Mm-hmm. But when I saw him this past week, I just tried to be like the cool cousin who was just like, you know, school's going to be over in a couple months and you are going to get to be you. And that's so exciting. And mm-hmm. so just know that like this portion is going to be in the rearview mirror so quickly and that it's actually a great thing that you weren't meant for school or for this typical route. Mm-hmm. It's great. So you just have to embrace it. And like, he's 17. So he's kind of like, shut up, old lady. Yeah, you know, like I, he didn't ask for that. You know, he's like, I'm not even asking you about this information, but I just felt compelled to just try to say like, it's okay. If you didn't belong there, because you didn't belong there, you know?
It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean,
when you're different. And
yeah, when you're different and you feel a certain way, you're so sensitive to not only emotionally, but sensitive to everything else around you too. It takes a toll on you.
Yeah. I mean, day in and day out, like I say with my depression, I go about a month or two before I feel like I have to set down the load. And the load is, I really want to make a poop joke here, but I'm not going to. Yeah. But the load is the sadness I've been functioning with every day, and then I can handle it for about a month or two before I crumble. And then I take about a day or two and I feel like shit. I feel awful. I feel hopeless. I feel like life is pointless. But then I feel those feelings. I set them down and I don't feel like I have to carry them. I can just feel them, you know, and let them kind of be. And then I put my backpack back on, you know, in a couple days and I head back out. But it's like, it's a routine and it's not a manic thing. Cause like, I don't feel like super up and super down. It's just like, I can only go so long carrying that weight of feeling down. Mm-hmm. And then I just crumble. And then that's when I don't leave my room. But, so I didn't say this though, cause I wanted to say, cause I'm trying to introduce the segment sob story. So that was a little bit of your sob story.
Yeah.
I'm trying to bring that back into the show. Uh-huh. So that was, we did a little sob story.
Yeah, we did.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Sob stories are my favorite. So speaking of my favorite though, I do want you to do a little reading on me.
Okay.
Okay. Is that okay?
That's perfectly fine.
Okay, great.
You ready?
Yes.
Okay.
So anyone listening, the dead sound is actually magic happening.
Yeah. I feel like, again, going back to the very beginning of the reading and the way that your ability works for you here, I question whether or not, even again, like when your guys, not guys, we're going to call me your guys, come in here and they're telling you to make way for changes here. I feel like I'm not trying to gas you up here. I feel like there's positive change coming in here, but you got to look at the lesson they're trying to tell you here and really, really kind of take time to absorb what's going on. I know that this is something you've been struggling with for a long time, but really, really dissecting everything out and dumping out your life of bullshit. What do I need? What no longer suits me? What can I get rid of here? What don't I want to take anymore?
Oh my God. That's what I was thinking about all day before you got here. And I had been speaking with my boyfriend recently because I was like, I just need you to help me sort out what I can dump out of my life, because I feel like there's things that I feel like I have like 4,000 tabs open in my brain and I can close 3,999 of them, but I just can't bring myself to do it.
I feel like with you too, that you, again, I'm not shitting on you. I feel like you got to make excuses for with people on your behavior or the way that you come across. And if they don't get you, they don't fucking get you. Again, I'm not saying that you're not living an authentic life here, but it's too much. It's too much. What other people? How I should explain myself to other people here instead of just going out and doing. I'm not saying that you should become a bitch and kind of throw everything to the, you know, throw everything out and be too hard here, but start dumping out stuff that you're carrying on too much here in order to to grow and to evolve and to shed the skin, you got to be willing to shed all that skin. And that's what my guides have told me when we first started doing this as a profession. You're going to go through hell. You are going to be stripped of everything you know. You got to be willing to do that. You got to be willing to be raw. You got to be willing to shed all that skin. And anything that comes in contact with your new skin is going to feel too intense. Be ready for this, but be willing to let go, fully let go, because this lifestyle that you have here, it's fine. You're surviving it, but you're not at peace.
No,
it's kind of like I've been saying this to a lot of people that I've been reading lately. It's kind of like a flower that's kind of wanting leaning towards the sun because it knows it needs it, but can't seem to get themselves out of the shade here. And that's where I feel like, so again, making a couple predictions here, I feel like, I don't know what you have planned for, this year or what you're doing here, but there's going to be more of that sense of wanting to shed in more intuition coming. There's something, what do you have planned for this October? Because October seems like a big month for you this year.
Well, my best friend's getting married in October.
Okay.
And I just found that out today, but otherwise I have no idea.
Is it going to be out of state?
Yes.
Okay.
It's in New Jersey. My guys, they're going to be in New Jersey waiting for me.
Waiting for you. there's going to be some sort, when this happens here, I'm not feeding off what you're saying here. There's going to be something, when I say karmic, what I mean by karmic is some sort of sign, some sort of, it's going to hit my core. I'm going to know this here. So it's going to be kind of like, a change in my mentality, but in my higher mind here, having to go, is that where you're originally from? Jersey?
New York.
Having to go, there's going to be something familiar that, do you know, is this a really good friend of yours?
Yeah, it's my best friend.
For years?
Since college.
Okay. There's going to be some sort of,
she's an asshole. Let's be clear about that.
But
she's great.
There's gonna be something that's
but
gonna,
definitely an asshole.
That's gonna come in here. That's going to that you're gonna be revisiting there. So an old feeling or feeling like of letting go of something there. Let that happen. Whatever you're gonna be going through in October is gonna be it's time.
Okay.
It's time.
Okay.
Because again, you look like you're ready, but you talk yourself out of it.
Yes. And when you say ready, you mean ready for that change, whatever that change is going to be.
Ready for the change, but ready to feel good mentally.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of, I don't want to say clouds, but that's what I feel like with you sometimes. It's not that you don't strike me as somebody that doesn't know what's wrong with them. You seem like you're very sharp and aware of what's going on here. It's how do I get myself, I keep climbing out of this here, but I keep slipping back. I'm not all the way out here. So this year is going to be all about change, whether you choose to accept it or not. So be ready for feeling, you're going to feel vulnerable. You're going to feel more, again, when I say depressed, I'm not talking about your normal depression. There's going to be something different about this one. This is happening in October of this year.
Okay. So this isn't something to be scared of, a change. It's
no,
a good change.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do this thing where I like you said, I kind of climb out and then fall back in. And I do it out of a place of fear because I cling to everything. So like if, like you were saying, getting rid of stuff that I don't need, I hold on to it. Not physically, not physical stuff, but stuff that I'm doing or things that I have going, even though I know they're not the right thing for me and they're holding me back, I cling to them because I think, well, what if the real thing that I need isn't there? Then I'll have zero. I could have this thing that's not right for me, or I could have zero.
But one could ask you, how often have you dipped back to grab that one thing? You haven't.
No, I haven't.
It's time to let go of it. And I know it's easier said than done coming from somebody else, but I don't, whenever I give readings to people like this and they're like, well, how do I do this? You got to just get up and do it. There is no,
that's the first step that I said, yeah. I hate just getting up and doing it.
Once you take that first step and you start again, repeat the devil's always in the details. Every time you try to change your life because you come from that dark place there, I'm going to get into the demon in a second here, but
oh, no.
No, it's good though.
Okay.
Whenever the devil, whether you choose to call him the devil, whatever the bad energy realizes that you're trying to change your life, if this happened to me, he always throws a wrench in the works. He'll bring the past in. He'll put you in similar situations where it questions your self-worth here. It's a test. So again, with you, that's what I feel like is going to be happening this year. It's a lot of coming to realizations, more so than you have in the past year. But you got to make the effort to, again, to get up and realize There's going to be days where I'm feeling like shit. How you choose to handle it, it's a different fucking story. So again, you start feeling the days of depression. Sit in here. Be depressed for a little bit, but not as long as you normally do. You're always, because you're, I'm going to keep telling this, because you're so intuitive and you feel everything, you're going to struggle with that for the rest of your life. It's how you choose to let it affect you here. So going back, so just real quick before I jump, keep going down the thing here. I always talk about my demon. That's when I talk about my demon. That's the thing that brought in manipulation. That's the thing that helped me out from being bullied. That was my defense mechanism here. And I always tell people, if I didn't have such a strong demon and having to suppress him down 50% of the time, my psychic abilities would be off the chart here. But that's something that you're always going to struggle with. Same with me. I'm never going to lose it. It's always going to be around. How I let it affect me is a different story here. So again, with your dreams and what you're going to be getting here, there's going to be more of a, I just see light on your forehead. So that tells me a sense of enlightenment's coming into here. But this is happening in October. And what's
or maybe I did my makeup bad.
No, I'm shining on top.
I'm shiny.
That's what I get from you.
Okay, cool. That does feel right because you said to call bullshit if it doesn't feel right. Mm-hmm. That does feel right. This year so far has been a lot of change and mm-hmm. the best change that's ever happened since I've become an adult. Starting in 2018, kicking off the year, the Bills, the Buffalo Bills, I know it's a silly, it's a football team, but they've been losing since 1999. All my adult life, I was 16 once they started losing. My entire adult life, I'm 35 now, they've lost. This year, they finally made it into the playoffs. And it, literally, I know it sounds so stupid and I'm not like a meathead sports fan, crazy person. The Bills have been a huge part of my life because my father loves them and it's a big family type of thing. But they got into the playoffs. And since they got into the playoffs, this entire year has just changed. Things have started going the right direction. And I knew that the minute they got into the playoffs, they lost the first game. But it was like there was some sort of change in that moment. And I knew it because it was starting on the new year. And every new year I start off and I'm like, this is just going to be the same old shitty new year. You know, it's just another year. And all of a sudden, 2018, I think it was like on New Year's Day or the day after or something or the day before or New Year's Eve, they played and they got in. And it was just like it kicked off change. And since January, it's now April, late April, things feel so much more positive and so much lighter. Like you said, like there's a light now at the end of my tunnel for the first time since I was 18.
So the image that I get off when people ask, what do you get off me? The image that I see with you is looking up and there's light on my forehead. So to interpret that as a vision from my vision into words here, there's some sort of enlightenment coming here, but this is from the higher self. This isn't my everyday thinking. This is, again, your intuition, something different coming in here that's trying to cleanse your mind here. I would allow it to happen. I would not fight this. It's, again, it's going to feel unusual. It's going to feel uncomfortable. You're going to definitely question yourself because your first go-to is to shut down. You got to try to change that mentality and really stick with it this time.
This is the same talk I'd be having with someone if they were talking to me about sex. They're like, it's going to be weird. It's going to be strange. You're not going to want to do it, but do it. It's good.
But after your first time, you're going to love it.
Yeah. So I'll let the light happen. Uh-huh. It's like losing my virginity.
I just question the depression. Again, I'm not saying that you're not depressed here, but it's a sensory overload.
I do think that's what it is. I know it's everything that brings me down is always from the outside world, mm-hmm. always. And so I've tried to think about ways to not revert from the world, to lose, like, because if everything that makes me feel sad happens from the outside world, that's why I stay in my room, because then I avoid the outside world and I don't feel sad. But that's not the answer, because I will continue to feel sad.
Girl, I feel,
you know,
I have to walk. I tell him, I said, this is the kind of mood that I'm going to be in today. We're going to go to the store. I'm going to walk and get exactly what I want. I'm not going to make any eye contact with anybody, but I have to get out of here and go do it.
Yeah.
So I put on a different, I know it sounds so silly, but I put on a different character every time I go out. I have my don't fuck with me face. I don't want to be bothered here. Go and do it and get the fuck back. Mm-hmm. That's what I do.
Yeah. It's crazy because I definitely am a depressed person, but I do wonder if people around me, and this is never going to happen, so I'll never have the answer, but if the world around me was the world that I envisioned, would I have depression? I don't think I would. I really don't think I would, but the world will never be the way I want it to be in my mind, in this like beautiful movie I have in my mind. That's never going to happen. So then I have to find ways around that, you know, that dream to out of depression.
It all, I know this is going to sound too hokey and too meta, but it could be somewhat the world that you want to see based on how you go about doing it. Does that make sense? Like one question before we go down that rabbit hole, what's your relationship status like right now? How's that going?
Great.
How long have you guys been together?
Very new, since January. January. Yeah.
Okay.
Technically.
All right. I'll ask to see a picture later, okay. But there's, look for the lesson in this relationship. There's something to be learned here with my mentality versus, I'm talking about the relationship. I'm on his behalf. I'm speaking between my mentality and your mentality here. So you got to look for that lesson here. This is going to be, I'm not going to lie here. This is going to be a very different, the rest of this year is going to be completely different for you. It's going to be a lot of realization, a lot of, again, what I see, another hokey thing is I see an onion here. So a lot of layers that need to be peeled off here, but you got to keep peeling them off. You got to get to the core of who you are here. Don't be afraid. I'm not saying, again, I don't want to shit on your depression here or your irrational fear, but that's all that it is though. So just real quick, we'll get to the psychic. What's it like to be you on an everyday basis? Like your thought process, what's your...
Draining. It is a constant carousel of the same thoughts just going, circling in my mind constantly. So when I wake up in the morning, I always wake up with dread that I don't want to do this. Then once I get over that, I basically have to fight that every morning and go, well, I have no choice. I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And it's a different dread, I think, than someone who wakes up and is like, I got to go to my job. I hate this job. This is like this, like, just deep-seated dread. Mm-hmm. And then once I wake up, then I have to deal with the self-hatred that I have for myself in terms of what I look like and my lack of achievements, or, you know, the way my hair is sitting or the way my pants fit, to not being smart enough, to, you know, not knowing how to manage finance. Like, everything. It's just everything. I'm mad at myself for everything all the time. And then once I get over that, then I get in my car and then I get angry at traffic. And then I'm mad at the outside world. And then maybe I'll watch a movie and I'll be happy. So it's exhausting. Or it's heavy.
The self-hatred, the getting up and feeling that way. I know that feeling all too well here. But again, when it came time for me to do what I need to do, and again, I do have the advantage because I am psychic here doing this for so long, I know when it's time to get up, and I'm not going to like it, and I don't like to be rushed into shit. I know exactly how you feel here, but that is always your go-to though. The way that happens to you, why not switch it up? And why not, again, baby steps? Okay, yes, I don't want to get up, and yes, I feel dread here, but you know what? Instead of saying that I have to do this, I don't have to do anything I don't want to do here, but I need to get up and I need to do this. I'm going to go treat myself to this, change your mentality up, and you're always, it's a process here. It's not going to shut off like that. Just kind of change, allow, hokey again, allow yourself to be cleansed here. You're asking for it. You're putting it out there. I just don't feel like your life path, looking at you psychically, I don't see anything in your life path here other than your own subconscious, your own subconscious in the way that you think, throwing you off here.
I know, it's me.
I don't see, you don't seem to have a shitty path here.
No, I don't.
It's how do I get her out of the, if this was astrology, I would say, how do I get her out of the 12th house? The 12th house is the house of the subconscious. It's the house of the self undoing here. How do I get her out of there?
Yeah. How do you get me out? Do it, please.
We got to start again. It sounds hokey. We got to start incorporating more positivity. In the minute you start feeling that drain coming on, or the negative thinking here, I'm feeling that I got to go do something. Distract yourself. Mm-hmm. I used to put rubber bands on my wrist and snap them.
My other podcast, my co-host Marnie, she does that. She was nervous to approach people and talk to people, so she would snap her wrist when she. To snap herself out of it, she would snap the rubber band on her wrist and then go talk to whoever it was that she wanted to talk to. But she needed the snap.
So you need to find something that works for you. Again, from the outside, from a person coming on the outside telling you shit, take a real good look at yourself. like, you're beautiful. Aww. You're smart. You're there's nothing wrong with being direct and being bold here. That's a gift. That's a talent. You have the power of speech.
Well, this is where depression and guilt kind of merge, because I know it's like I have everything. I'm great. I'm in a great setup. Mm-hmm. I was born a white chick with pretty much everything I need to make things easy. And that's when guilt comes in, because then I go to the place of what a pussy I am and what an idiot and what a dick, what an asshole I am. Look at everything that I have. And then I feel bad about being depressed. But I know that that's not like, you can't do that with depression, really. Mm-hmm. You can't talk. Like my mom used to say, if you're feeling sad, why don't you go volunteer somewhere? I'm like, no, you're not. You don't get it. That's not going to snap me out of depression. It mm-hmm. might make it worse, because then I'll feel worse about the people.
Looking at their lives. Right. And, yeah.
And then the way I'm responding is like such an idiot, like, oh, poor me, when I have this person here who's got, you know. So I do struggle with like that guilt part of it. Like, I try to every now and then look at a picture that's older, where I knew when that picture was taken, all I was feeling was self-hate, dread, discomfort, anger, and then look at it from 5 years later and go, oh my God, that person looks totally normal and good and fine and nothing to hate themselves over. And I get this outside perspective. It's an out of body experience when you take that picture and you look at it and you don't have the same, you know, I'm not wearing the same pants that I was in that picture. So I'm not feeling the same pressure of the button on my stomach, and I'm not having the same migraine that I had that day. I'm looking at it as a completely different person. And I always go, oh my God, that person has it so good. And that's me. But I always need that like distance to be able to see that, you know. It's like zoom out and all of a sudden things look not so bad. But when you're micro managing your mind
and it starts building up, yeah, and yeah,
it's
yeah.
too, I'm seeing everything too big. It's like going onto an airplane and you see the world is these like, it looks so pretty. It looks like a little painting, or it looks fake, or it looks like cars or toys. It's like being able to zoom out to that perspective and look at yourself, you really realize how great things really are. It's just coming back, landing on that airplane and coming back to the actual world, mm-hmm. and everything's big again. And you're like, oh no, all these big problems. You got to zoom back out and go to the airplane.
I'm going to blame your, or not blame, but I'm going to mm-hmm. keep tying in your intuition here in the sensitivity, the sensory overload to everything here that makes you, but it doesn't seem, I know I'm not a doctor, but it doesn't seem like a psychosis to me. It just seems like it's too much. That's what I get from you. I don't have that. I can tell when somebody's a little off here. There's a certain glaze to their eye. Do you yeah. ever look at somebody and you kind of notice that?
Yeah.
You don't have that to me.
Yeah.
This is more of.
You got to pretend that I do, so people listening to the show are like, this is a real legit depressed person we're listening to talk. Because yeah. you can't, but then all of a sudden they'll be like, we're not listening to her.
Yeah. It's sensory overload that causes your fucking depression. Yeah, yeah. It's horrible.
Yeah. So you see a difference between someone with depression from that versus someone with a different type of depression.
There's a different type of energy.
Yeah, you can feel it.
You probably felt it.
Oh, definitely. Okay. Like, I know for sure there was a different energy from Stevie and I. I know we had a different type of depression. Mm-hmm. I know that for sure. Obviously.
Good feeding off of that. Good point. Let's remove you out of your body with Stevie there too, and looking from the outside, looking in there. What would you think of the two of you guys sitting together? And you heard the person being you saying they felt crazy, they felt depressed, and then looking again, I'm not shitting on Stevie here, but no, just wouldn't you pick up two different energies there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yours seems more honed in. I've got yeah. more control over this. The energy between the two of you guys, you come across, you look on the outside looking in, and I'm not talking as a public here, but I'm talking as you looking at. If we pulled you outside of your body, sat you and Stevie together here, and you assessed or analyzed the situation here, hearing you come across and saying that you're depressed or that you feel like you got this going, you looking at you, you would say, this person seems to have a better handle on it, though. She seems to be a little bit more guarded and more reserved. Maybe her defensive mechanism is fuck you, and Stevie's is more of like a little out there a little bit more, a little too open.
I know what you're saying. It's like Stevie's almost, it's like spreads out like water if you spill something and it's kind of all over the place. And mine's more of a like a drop or something.
Yours is water spilling out, but put the cup back over it.
Right. Yes. Mine, that's what I always felt. And so this is where I came up with, we do a little segment called Who Sadder, which we'll do in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. But I came up with that because I said to Stevie, oh my God, you're so much sadder than me. But when I said that, I did mean sadder, but I also meant you have it much more difficult than I do in terms of your depression. And I could just feel that and sense that. There was more of a...
Hers is crashing water, waves.
I was going to say there was more of an up... The word isn't coming to me, but like there was more of a unsettledness to hers where it was chaotic. Whereas mine is honed in, like you said, it's from the outside world or it's from just feeling too much energy. Whereas Stevie, you couldn't pinpoint. There was so much.
How does this sound? Again, crashing waves for Stevie. Choppy water.
Very choppy water.
Waves, the white caps on the waves coming in. Yours is storm clouds coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Storm clouds come. It's getting ready to rain. It seems more of like you have time to prepare for your shit a little bit more than she had time for hers. When that feeling started coming in, it just seemed to be with her. She also seems like somebody that would have acted out her shit.
Definitely, she was way more of an actor outer. I think there's something to me that's very grounded, and I think that's where that comes from. Like I never felt as a teenager. I never ever acted out. I never like Stevie. You know, she was a cutter. She would, you know, in high school, she used drugs and like she had more of this kind of rampagey kind of feel. Whereas I'm very down to earth and very grounded.
That's exactly like with me. I could have had the chance. I've experimented with cocaine, weed. I did the whole speed thing. I went down from 200 pounds to like 135.
Oh my God.
On meth.
Oh my God.
Stopped it just like this.
Wow.
I did it because I wanted to party. It wasn't because I was spiraling down here. I always maintained a level of self-control just like you. So when I tell you that this is the year here, you got to realize how much self-control you have. How fucking strong
I know
you are.
That weed thing's been sitting there for like a year. I've touched it twice. That's self-control.
My guides have told me you need to stop smoking weed from March 5th. To your birthday, which was yesterday.
Oh, happy belated.
Thank you.
And that was the 25th?
The 25th.
Oh my God, happy birthday.
Thank you. And I, with amazing self-control, was it fucking hard? Absolutely. But from March 5th to April 25th, no weed.
Wow.
And kind of cleansed my mind.
And what did that do for you?
Brought in clarity.
Okay.
Clarity, I got to sleep a little bit better.
That's something, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's something I think Stevie didn't have. Clarity. She smoked weed all the time. I mean, you know, it was like her thing. It was just weed, 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 weed.
It's a distraction. It keeps you numb. But then the material mind always wants to snap back in here. And that brings in the depression. That brings in, I'm starting to feel again. Nope, need to start smoking again.
Mm-hmm.
You, again, I can't say this enough here. Start trusting yourself a little bit more here. Start going within and start shedding some of the shit that no longer suits you anymore. Close those old doors and keep them. I'm not telling you to forget what happened to you because you never will. But close some old doors and be willing to walk away from those doors here and not open them again.
Yeah.
Because you haven't had to open them for a long time here. It's just wasted space. It's just wasted energy.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the closing of the doors means you have to find really who you are without that. And that's what's scary. I talked about that on a mini pod that I do on the Patreon page.
Uh-huh.
I talked about that, how my intern day was like, you are not this underdog that you perceive yourself as, and you need to start seeing yourself as the way you actually are. And I said, but who am I if I'm not the underdog? That's all I know, is being the like the self-deprecating underdog who things don't work out for. Like, that's all I know. And so without that, I have to redefine myself. And that's scary because I don't know who I am without that. I'm empty. In a way, it feels like I'm empty. I'd have to start from zero. Mm-hmm. But like you said, like, you have to shed all that skin.
You have to be, you, again, it's easier for somebody on the outside to come in here and say that you need to be strong here, but it is a process. You cannot do this overnight. I struggle with that. He seems to think that I'm so much in control of myself and so strong.
By he, for the people listening,
Jay
is here.
Yeah,
Jay. Who's your friend in
Business manager.
Okay. So, yeah. We're not just saying he isn't a guide.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I keep forgetting sometimes. So Jay will come across and say, you know, he put me in a really bad situation. One time he had a different person managing me, and it was horrible. I was living in New York for like 4 months, and I just couldn't take this woman's energy.
Kanye. You can't be managed.
No.
Did you hear that? He said that yesterday.
And so he's like, just stick it out. And I said, it's fucking driving me crazy here. Like I have visions of throwing her outside of her fucking window. Like it's too much.
Yeah. And I'm a psychic, so I know that's going to happen. I will do it.
So yeah, I was like, I'm done. I quit. I quit with her. Yeah. Came back home and he was like, I was depressed. And then I started to get mad. I was like, how dare you throw me out to the wolves like that? And not, he's all, I didn't think, I thought that you were being dramatic here. Because I seem to have it together more often than I really do here. So again, it never again. I will express that.
You mean trust what are you saying? Never again to
never again. Go against what I know in my heart here.
Right.
In feeling so I allow myself. I tell Jay all the time. Today I'm going to be depressed. I'm just feeling it. Stay away from me. Give me the whole day here to kind of just go within here. I should be okay the next day. I don't deny my feelings. If I feel like having a tantrum, I know it sounds psycho. I will go in the room and I will grab a pillow. I will scream into it. I will rip a shirt. I will get mad. I don't deny myself that. If I'm feeling sad, I get in the car, I put my iPod on and I cry.
And what do you feel after that happens? Relief?
Relief. Yeah. Relief and release.
Yeah.
I can't explain. It's more of like, I need this though. You can't, I think people want to deny depression sometimes. They want to deny their anger. And they're like, no, it's just not something I should be doing here. Yeah, you do. It's a feeling. Honor it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, I mean, from what I hear from messages that I get online, it's so many people that are not expressing themselves. So they have just a massive amount of bottled up emotions. Mm-hmm. Massive. And I can tell from the exchange. So someone will send me a message talking about how they struggle and they've no one to talk to and their family would judge them and all this stuff. And then once we respond, there's some sort of back and forth. I can feel the energy change where it's just letting out that shit that they have been holding in because they haven't talked to anyone. Because they really, a lot of the people look to podcasts or look to this as the first step to therapy because they aren't able to talk to anyone. And it's that release of, some people say, and I've gotten this like several times, if someone say like, sorry, I'm emotionally vomiting on you, but they'll just like vomit up all this stuff that they have told me they've not told anyone. And then they seem different after that message. It's almost like there's a lightness.
Yeah, afterward. It's a release. It's a relief. It's like, fuck, I didn't even realize how bad I was feeling this until I started speaking to you. So you probably get a lot of that stuff where I normally don't do this, but I feel compelled to tell you this, or I just feel comfortable with you. It's like somebody that understands.
Just getting it out.
Yeah.
So when we were emailing Jay and I had asked what conversation can come about from like mediums and mental health. And so Jay, you said something about how mystics take advantage of clients looking for help. I'm a little bit confused, or I'm not going to be saying this right, but they want someone to remove an attachment to them because they're feeling depressed.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I went
into. Can you reword that for me? Because I just said that terribly. So people probably have no idea what I'm saying.
A lot of times, people that suffer from a mental illness, they feel like there's something attacking them, physically attacking them. Like, I feel like I'm being possessed. That's a good word that they use. I feel like I'm being possessed here. There's something.
And that used to happen back in the day. You were depressed. It was a demon.
Right.
They would try to like beat it out of you.
Uh-huh. Put you electroshock therapy or weird shit. So a lot of times, people that have that type of attachment to them or feel that they have that, they go and seek the help of a mystic, a psychic, if you will, medium. I feel this bad energy around me here. So I went to go do these events here where it's like a kind of like a tour here. You go different cities and it's a big metaphysical event, different psychics, Reiki healers, all kinds of different people under one tent. And I was getting up to go to the bathroom. I left my station and this lady came up to me. She was like, oh, Chris, you're a psychic medium, right? I said, yeah. She goes, this lady, little old lady, She must have been like in like her late 80s. Tiny. She was clinging to her, and she goes, she says that she has an attachment on her. Can you help get it off of her?
Wow.
And I looked at the lady, and the lady looked at me, and I guess it was kind of like the way I looked at you. Like, you can just feel that stare. She instantly got scared. She goes, what are you doing to me? What? Why is he looking at me like that?
Oh, my God.
And so I told the woman, I said, I can't help her.
Yeah.
She goes, why not? I said, she doesn't need a psychic. She's got dementia. She's got a cognitive impairment here.
And you can feel that.
I could feel it.
Yes.
And there's nothing that I could do or say that was going to help her. But you get her in with these mystics, and right away, let's bring out the crystals.
Right. And so they're taking advantage.
They're taking advantage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy to me that people seek that's real, that's still in 2018, because what her situation of she feels like she has an attachment, that sounds so vintage to me. It sounds so 1800s or something,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but people still feel that can be cured by mm-hmm.
and there's
mysticism-y stuff. It's crazy. But I'm going to get to our segments for the show.
Okay.
And so we're going to do a Who's Sadder.
Okay.
And I hate to bring this up because it's kind of cliche to talk to a medium about this person, but I really like Teresa Caputo
mm-hmm.
from Long Island Medium.
Uh-huh.
But her hair and her hair is just, I mean, come on. Uh-huh. Is she not getting voices to change that hairstyle? So for our Who's Sadder,
okay,
we're going to do Who is Sadder, Teresa Caputo's hairdresser or her manicurist?
Jeez.
Because her nails are 4,000 feet long.
I forgot what her hairstyle looks like.
You forgot what her hairstyle looks like?
Is it teased on top?
Oh my God. It's like a wall of teased, bleached blonde.
Yeah, and it's hair. All bunched up at the top, right?
Yes, and so it's got almost like a mullet quality uh-huh. because it's really big here, and then there's
and then it comes kind of straight yeah.
on the bottom, but not long, but it kind of juts out onto her, like it almost flips up a little bit, but it's got a mullet quality.
See, my guides fuck with me, and they tell me, you're gaining too much weight, you need to start losing it, or think about this. I can't believe nobody from the other side
right,
is coming.
My guides haven't been like, hey, sister.
Yeah, at least pulled her hair or tugged on it, or, you know.
Well, they can't. They'll break a nail.
Because
it's so hard.
Yeah. Aquanet.
Yeah. So much Aquanet.
I mean, I'm gonna go with the hairstylist.
Okay.
Yeah.
I agree.
I think that I mean it has to be sad to be constantly having to redo that hairstyle over and over again the same way with no.
I wonder if they're proud of their work. Because like she is their celebrity client. Whoever this person is, that person is probably not doing other people's hair that are in the limelight, because mm-hmm. that is a hairstyle of people not in the limelight. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's their portfolio is like her. So either they're really proud of the hair, or they're like, oh my God, that's the hair I'm known for. I can do so much better. You know, it's like one or the other. Whereas, so there's them, and then the manicurist. I think the manicurist is happier because she has those super long nails, but like at least they get to do work on a larger surface than a tiny nail.
Right.
I don't know. I think I'm reaching here, but I would say, I think the hairstylist is sadder because I think they can probably do better. Whereas the manicurist, they're like, well, these are nails.
Yeah. And why hasn't the hairstylist stepped in and said, have we ever thought about going this way?
I know. I think there was actually one episode where they toned it down. Like
did she just get out of bed?
Oh. No, but she was going. I think the whole theme of that episode was like going to change her hairstyle, and she looked so much better. She had just had like normal. I think they did brown. It was just like, you know, flatter to her, like a normal person's
uh-huh.
height of hair, uh-huh. and she looked good. And then she's like, no, it's not me, and it's great. Stick to who you are. I want her to be. That's what makes her her. Mm-hmm. So I'm not talking too much yet, but that hair and those nails, my God. Okay. So a would you rather?
Okay.
Would you rather? This is a very simple one.
Okay.
Would you rather be a medium and have these abilities, or would you rather be quote unquote regular?
I'd rather be a medium and have these abilities.
So it's been hard, but you would do it all over again.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. Why? Like what about it is?
The lessons and being told what's going to happen and kind of watching everything play out here. I don't know.
Yeah.
I find it fascinating.
Yeah. You have a different level of your view is different. Like you've got seats from the balcony, which is great. Like you're seeing things in a bigger perspective than anyone else, really.
And I wouldn't give it up or change that for the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's awesome. And okay, our depression impression. So that's someone we talk about in the limelight, as I've said already, who has depression. And this, or not depression, but a mental illness. So recently, I don't know how in tune you are with current events of pop culture and stuff like that. And I try to stay not too involved in it, but some of it is, you know, hard to avoid. But have you seen Kanye, the whole thing going on with him?
That makes me so sad.
So the reason he's a depression impression is because people are speculating that he must have a mental health problem if he's tweeting the way he is erratically and choosing his politics like in this
We're going to go down the rabbit hole with this one. We are. Go ahead.
Well, I don't get into politics on the show. You can. I don't get into politics. But the reason I wanted to bring him up was because people throwing the mental illness card at someone on no actual basis. So he's saying he's fine. He's saying he's out of the sunken place, quote unquote. But people, because of his erratic nature and the way he's tweeting, they're like, he's bipolar. He's bipolar. They're like labeling him.
I think that after the mind's been fucked with for so long, it tries to reshape itself and get back to what it was before here. And I feel like he's having glimpses of clarity, but still that fog coming in. There's a lot more. I'm going to say there is some mental illness involved here. Not so much as there's a lot of, I'm just going to say, hypnotic impressions being put on him.
What does that mean?
Or being kind of like going to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist that plays with the head here, that puts impressions in your mind here. I feel like he's being brainwashed
by
the powers that be. I know that sounds like a little bit conspiracy theory type thing here, but that's exactly, I am a firm believer in that.
Well, the deal with, I don't know him that well. I've never followed him. I've never been a fan necessarily ever. But I do know he's well known for being overly confident, a little arrogant, kind of an a-hole or something. Mm-hmm. I think that's what is at play, is a massive ego, whereas like his ideas are the ideas, or his ideas are the right ideas. I think that comes from like an ego problem and from way too much self-esteem. I don't really think it's a mental health problem. I think it's just more of an asshole problem. I don't necessarily think he's being an asshole. I see what he's doing as not a bipolar thing. Because people are like, oh, he's bipolar, because all of a sudden he's just tweeting. I think it's when you have this discovery of that in your mind of something that you believe, and you get excited and you just kind of go with it and let it roll. I think that's what he's doing. I don't think it's a symptom of being bipolar. I think it's a symptom of being freaking famous, ridiculously confident, and having an epiphany.
I think his mind, I look at it a different way, and this is what I get. People are going to call me crazy. I just get his mind is being stifled. He does not have the ability to use his own way of thinking right, his own way of thinking. There's something off. There's too many impressions. There's too many roadblocks that are being put there by other people, though.
But the whole thing is that he's saying he's seeing clearly. Like, he's seeing, like, he's got the vision. Like, he doesn't feel like there's roadblocks, but you think there are roadblocks within that.
I think there's roadblocks within that. I think that he's venturing out. He's coming into moments of clarity, bouts of clarity, making him taking that, I should do something, right? I should tweet something, right? Yeah, I'm going to tweet something.
Like, he's taking messages in or something.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. It's kind of creepy.
Not from a psychic.
No, right.
But from
whatever.
His mind is trying to reshape. It's trying to heal him. It's trying to heal itself. That's what I get from him.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah. And you'll see, I'm going to make another prediction. He's going to go away for a little bit and then come back. And then he's going to be I don't think he's just like Britney Spears. And I'm not shitting on her, whatever. They never come back quite the same.
Right.
Kanye,
do you see this as like a little meltdown?
Yeah, it's a little meltdown.
Okay.
And a reprogramming coming into play.
Yeah. he would shave his head if he didn't already have shaved hair like Britney, you know, right, how Britney shaved. Yeah. But he's already short, so we can't do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Well, those were my little segments for this episode. This is really interesting stuff.
It is.
So, it's a whole... Yeah, I almost feel like my brain is like trying to take in a lot right now of what you were saying. And I just, there's a lot in my mind going on right now. I feel like there's it's like a washing machine and everything's kind of spinning in it right now.
Yeah.
It's on the spinning cycle.
Yeah. So as it always is though.
It is. Yeah. But right now it's like speeding really high. So anyway, well, this was really cool. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
And so tell me where people can find you and if they want your services and that kind of thing.
For my services, feel free to visit chrismedina.guide. Social media. There's a dot guide? Dot guide. And O-M-G. I got that one.
OMG. Yeah.
But that's, it's a pain in the ass sometimes though. Because people are like .com, .guide.com. No, chrismedina.guide.
That's so funny.
Just .guide.
Yeah.
And then for social media, it's at @PsychicChrisM. Okay. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Okay, cool. And so can you do sessions with people like over Skype and stuff like that?
Skype, phone, in person.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Just because, you know, if you're not in the LA area or something like that and you want to get in touch.
Feel free to book a session through my website. I can do it again, Skype, phone, in person, whatever.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, this was fun. Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
And for reading my crazy energy. I appreciate it.
I love your energy, though.
Oh, thank you. Okay, good. Now I'm like, now I'm afraid I'm going to shoot my wall back up.
No, don't. Yeah, we'll break them down.
Try not to. Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. And please support the show on Patreon. And if you don't want to do that, give me a quick review on iTunes, 5-star one, and write a comment. So I will see you guys next week. But until then, remember, stay sad enough to listen, but not too sad. Bye, guys.